the Organization of Islamic Cooperation agrees to establish a humanitarian trust fund to address the growing economic crisis in Afghanistan. Israeli forces arrest several Palestinians in the West Bank amid rising settler violence and tensions in the occupied territory. And in Iran, the country reports its first case of the Omicron COVID variant. The patient is a man who's recently returned from the United Arab Emirates. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Now, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation has agreed to set up a humanitarian trust fund to alleviate Afghanistan's economic crisis. The country's woes have been aggravated by the freezing of billions of dollars in Afghan assets abroad, particularly by the United States after the Taliban takeover in August. Earlier, we discussed the issue in our news review program. Let's take a listen. And now it's time for this hour's news review. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation meets to discuss the situation in Afghanistan in the wake of the Taliban takeover in August. The organization has agreed to establish a humanitarian trust fund to address the growing economic crisis in that country. Well, the fund will be set up under the Islamic Development Bank to channel aid to Afghanistan. And that's according to Pakistan's foreign minister, whose country hosted the OIC meeting. A final statement has stressed the need for allowing Afghanistan access to its financial resources to prevent economic collapse. Iran's foreign minister, Hossein Amir Abdullahian, also attended the Islamabad meeting. He called for the formation of an inclusive government in Afghanistan. The economic crisis there has been worsening as billions of dollars in central bank reserves remain frozen. That's happening as the world is not yet recognizing the new Afghan government formed by the Taliban. I'd like to welcome my guest to this news review. Out of Islamabad, Kamran Youssef, and out of Tehran, Masoud Shajadeh, Chairman of Islamic Human Rights Commission. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off with Kamran. Fill us in on this latest situation, exactly what does this mean now with the OIC coming to this conclusion and deciding that they want to help the Afghanistan nation.
Well, this humanitarian fund that you are talking about is being set up is to plug the gap that currently there in Afghanistan. Since the Taliban took control of Kabul, no official banking channel are currently operating or available in Afghanistan. So in the absence of such financial system, any country or anyone wanted to help the people of Afghanistan, they cannot do it. So this is one of the reasons that now this trust is being set up under the Islamic Development Bank, which will channel aid and financial assistance to be provided by the member countries to Afghanistan. Also, the Pakistani Foreign Minister Shah Mahmood Qureshi, while speaking at a news conference at the conclusion of this OIC conference, said that some of the member countries were reluctant to channel aid through the Taliban government, and that is why this fund is being set up. So this also indicates, while member countries of the OIC wanted to help the people of Afghanistan, at this stage, they are not willing to recognize the Taliban rule, because the immediate concern of the OIC member states and other countries is to avert the humanitarian catastrophe and the economic collapse, because we heard the UN relief chief speaking at the OIC conference stating that nearly 23 million Afghans are facing acute food shortage. He also quoted a UN development program assessment that by the middle of next year, 97% of Afghans could slip below the poverty line if urgent steps are not taken to mitigate their suffering. So against this backdrop, this OIC meeting took place, and now officials are hoping that this will make a positive impact on the ground in Afghanistan.
Well, Masoud, I want to look at, first of all, because we know, I mean, with the funds of the Afghanistan government, they're being frozen by the United States. I want to talk about the legality of that and how basically the so-called international community is doing nothing. Now, you heard Cameron talking about forecasts, the majority of people to be suffering by next year. And it seems like the so-called international community is just sitting, doing nothing, and at the same time have frozen their funds and saying these poor people are suffering. Your assessment of it all?
Absolutely. Marzia, you really touched the actual issue. The issue here is not a natural disaster that we will get people together and banks set up, Muslim banks or Islamic banks, put a sort of a package together to bring aid into Afghanistan. The reality is that this whole crisis has been created out of U.S. brutal occupation and the fact that they destroyed all the infrastructure, and at the end of it, they handed the country back to Taliban, and now they are putting restriction for Afghanistan to get its own resources, its own money, and have access to it. This sort of sanctions by the banking system, which indeed some of the participants from the OIC were saying that they want to continue it because Taliban are in charge, so therefore they don't want to recognize Taliban. I don't know who they want to recognize to help the Afghani people at this very difficult time. So really, unless we remove this sort of bullying by the West, which is being done in Afghanistan and indeed elsewhere, then you know no amount of aid is going to resolve the crisis that Afghanistan is facing. We need to recognize what's the basis of this crisis. We need to recognize what disease is taking place and then find the remedy for it. And no amount of aspirins is going to resolve it. And, you know, when it comes to OIC, OIC has been, incompetent to do anything. You give me one single issue in the whole life of OIC that OIC have managed to bring a change or support. OIC was created to support Palestinians. It's done nothing as such. I remember a few years ago, I had a private meeting with one of the heads of OIC, one of the main countries, and the president, in a private meeting, turned around and we were discussing the incompetence of OIC, and he referred to OIC as OIC, and he was making fun of it. I mean, the reality is that OIC, if we're going to wait for OIC, we will all die of old age.
Well, thank you both for being with me on this news review. Kamran Youssef there in Islamabad, Masoud Shajere, Chairman of the Islamic Human Rights Commission in Tehran. Israeli forces arrest six Palestinians over a shooting that killed a settler 3 days ago. The Israeli military says it detained the Palestinians in a village in Jenin and closed the building where they were arrested. Two people were also injured in the shooting that took place near an illegal Israeli outpost in the northern occupied West Bank. The Hamas resistance movement says the attack proves that Palestinians are continuing the struggle to liberate their land. Palestinians are outraged by rising settler attacks on their villages, with backing from Israeli troops. Israeli rights group B'Tselem has documented hundreds of such attacks this year alone.
Scores of Palestinians have been injured by Israeli settlers in villages around the city of Nablus in the occupied West Bank following a shooting near an illegal outpost in Homesh that left one settler dead and two wounded. Dozens of Israeli settlers attacked Qaryut village south of Nablus overnight. The attackers broke into many homes in the town and assaulted local families. Scores of Palestinians were injured in the process and moved to several hospitals in Nablus. According to the Palestinian media, the settlers also blocked the main highway connecting Nablus and Ramallah and attacked vehicles with Palestinian license plates with stones, causing damages to several cars. In reaction to the attacks, the Palestinian Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Expatriates called on the United Nations to promptly activate the international protection system for Palestinian civilians under Israeli occupation. It also called on the international community to pressure the Israeli regime into stopping acts of terrorism committed by settlers against Palestinians and their communities. The ministry held the regime of Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett fully and directly responsible for settler violence and terror, and warned against the dangerous repercussions of their acts on the status of the region. It is stressed that Israeli authorities are encouraging and protecting settler violence, which is soaring on a daily basis. According to Israeli advocacy group B'Tselem, 2021 saw a rise in settler violence of 28.6% compared to last year. UN human rights experts have expressed alarm at the rising rate of violence directed by Israeli settlers toward Palestinians in the occupied Palestinian territory. According to the United Nations Office for the Coordination of the Humanitarian Affairs, already in the first 10 months of 2021, there have been 410 attacks by settlers against Palestinians. Four Palestinians were killed by settlers this year. Nearly 700,000 Israelis live in over 230 settlements built since the 1967 occupation of the Palestinian territories of the West Bank. All the settlements are illegal under international law, and the United Nations Security Council has condemned the settlement activities in several resolutions. Since occupying the West Bank, Israel has misappropriated more than 200,000 hectares of land there for its own purposes, including building and expanding settlements and paving roads for settlers. Some areas have been taken over by the regime issuing military orders, others through daily acts of settler violence. These two seemingly unrelated tracts are both forms of state violence. The Israeli apartheid regime and its representatives actively aid and abet the settlers' violence as part of his strategy to cement the takeover of Palestinian land.
The settlers and the uniformed soldiers work together, not without tensions, but they always support each other, and the settlers are used to carry out the particular kinds of attacks, burning trees, certain kinds of terror attacks, which the army prefers not to do. They shoot, they kill, but they protect the settlers 100% of the time. The settlers know this, and it gives them a sense of complete impunity.
Well, Algeria's national football team once again showing their support for the Palestinian cause. They've dedicated their Arab Cup championship title to the Palestinian nation, particularly the residents of the Gaza Strip.
Congratulations for all the fans in Zaire. We don't forget the people in Gaza, in Palestine also. This is a fight for them. So pride for my player, pride for my country.
The players also waved the Palestinian flag to celebrate as their manager made the announcement. Algerian supporters also showed their solidarity by holding up Palestinian flags in the stands. Algeria were crowned the Arab Cup champions with a 2-0 win over neighboring Tunisia. The Algerian team had shown their solidarity with Palestinians in previous games in the tournament. Oh, that's nice, and congratulations to Algeria. Moving on now to Sudan, where security forces have clashed with post-coup protesters in the capital, Khartoum. Security forces fired tear gas to disperse demonstrators who chanted slogans against coup leaders. Rallies are also underway in some other Sudanese cities. They take place on the third anniversary of protests that touched off a popular uprising leading to the ouster of longtime President Omar al-Bashir. Following the October 25th military takeover, civilian leader Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok was arrested but was reinstated on November the 21st. At least 45 people have been killed and scores of others wounded during previous protests following the putsch. Moving on to other news this hour, Iran confirms its first case of the Omicron variant of COVID-19 in the capital, Tehran. The health ministry says the infected person is a middle-aged man who recently returned to Iran from the United Arab Emirates. According to the ministry, the necessary measures have been taken to quarantine the man and those who were in contact with him. Daily COVID cases and deaths have been declining in Iran in recent weeks. On Sunday, the country reported 50 new fatalities in 24 hours. That's a very low figure compared with the summer when daily deaths surpassed 700. Well, the disease has largely been contained due to a massive vaccination campaign. So far, more than 50 million of Iran's 85 million population have received their two doses. Now turning to Chile, where voters there are heading to the polls in a key second-round presidential election. The runoff is taking place as none of the seven contenders garnered over 50% of the vote in the first round in November. Outgoing President Sebastián Piñera has just cast his ballot. He will be succeeded by either far-right former congressman José Antonio Kast or left-wing candidate Gabriel Boric. Well, the two men offer two radically different agendas for Chile's future, from pensions and privatization to mining and taxation. Whoever wins the vote will have a four-year term to lead a country that's grappling with high inflation, the pandemic, and social unrest. And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
drawing. Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, December 19th, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. As you know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast at IRIB English Radio. If you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please don't miss this program and keep us company until the end of this program. Welcome to this program, Listeners Special, on this beautiful Sunday. And this, actually, it is snowy here in Iran at the time I am performing this program. And it feels great. Anyway, as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to the technicians and engineers of IRIB English Radio. So please send us these reception reports. Because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a high-quality service to our listeners around the world. So all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. And here I mention the names of those of our listeners who have sent us reception reports. Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Toshio Shibata from Japan, and Don Olson from Sweden. All of them are old and regular listeners. So Mizanur Rahman, Toshio Shibata, and Don Olson, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Many thanks for sending us these reception reports. And of course, as usual, many listeners around the world have sent us emails and letters, which I mentioned some of their names here in this program. And later during the program, I will read their emails or letters. For this edition of Listeners Special, we will read the emails of Igor Belevich from Belarus. It seems that he is a new listener of IRIB English Radio. Shivan Dupol from India, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. Ram Babu Kumar from India has sent us an email. Artur Fernandez Lorella, one of our regular listeners from Spain, has sent us an email. And for this edition of IRIB English Radio Listeners Special, Alan Willey from Canada has sent us an email. So please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and we have a new listener, Igor Belevich from Belarus, who has sent us an email. I will read his email. He says, "Hello, my Iranian radio friends. My name is Igor Belevich. On Sunday, December 12, 2021, I listened to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran in English here in Belarus. Reception was very good. I heard letters from some of your global listeners, and I heard that also a Russian listener had written a letter to your radio and had said that he listened to Radio Iran in English and in Russian in shortwave. That was when I also decided to write to your radio. Reception is good only at your English service, but unfortunately the reception of your Russian service is very bad on 729. I hope the problem will be solved. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Igor Belevich from Belarus, in this snowy day in Iran and, of course, in your country, Belarus. Igor, we are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in your country, in your region, Belarus. Igor, many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. It's very kind of you. So you listen to IRIB English Radio, and of course the Russian service of the World Service of IRIB, and that's great. And we are so happy that you let us know your view about IRIB English radio programs and the quality of the programs of IRIB English radio. Of course, we will inform our colleagues at IRIB Russian Radio about the trouble you had, because you said, unfortunately, you had the trouble in the reception of Russian service. We, of course, let them know about this problem. Anyway, many thanks for sending us this email. Igor Belevich from Belarus, write to us soon and tell us more views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. Igor, we have an email from Shivanta Paul from India. Shivanta Paul, as you may know, is one of our old and regular listeners. Shivanta Paul says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, thank you for your kind email. I will try to send short audio recording clips and comments, questions about your program and Iran, and hope you can air my comments in your program. Listen as a special. With best regards and stay safe." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Shivanta Paul from India. Many thanks for sending us this email, Shivanta Paul. And of course, for the previous letter, Igor Belevich from Belarus, we will send you an EQSL card. We will send all our listeners around the world EQSL card as a confirmation. So, Shivanta Paul, of course, all the comments of all our listeners around the world are aired in this program, Listeners Special. We wish you all the best. Stay safe in the time of pandemic. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with more emails and comments from around the world. Stay with us, please. Welcome back to your program, Listeners Special, the Sunday program. And again from India, we have an email from Ram Babu Kumar. Ram Babu Kumar has sent us an email, but before the program started, I read his email, and it's a congratulatory message on Christmas. So let's read his email. Ram Babu Kumar from India says, "Dear Sir or Madam at IRIB English Radio, I wish all your listeners across the world a Merry Christmas and a very happy New Year 2022. We wish you a very happy Christmas and holiday season. We know that this past year has been very difficult for all, and we pray that the coming year brings more times for you. Sending all our love and good wishes for better days ahead. We wish you a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season. Stay safe and take care. Please note that I am collecting postage stamps, so I kindly request to you, please send me this, some used postage stamps and with some picture postcards. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year in advance. More in the next letter, and I am waiting for your letter. Thanks and regards." And salam and warm greetings to you, Ram Babu Kumar from India. And I do express my appreciations to you for sending us this email from India. Thank you for sending us this congratulatory message, of course, for the Christmas and the New Year, that is 2022. Of course, IRIB English Radio will soon broadcast a special feature, a special program on Christmas and New Year for our Christian listeners around the world. And as you may know, we have a few days to Christmas and New Year. But anyway, we, like you, Ram Babu Kumar, express our, congratulation messages to the Christian listeners of Listens Special and, of course, IRIB English Radio. And we wish all people around the world a very safe, happy, and healthy New Year 2022. Anyway, thank you, Ram Babu Kumar from India, for sending us this congratulatory message. And from Spain, we have an email from Arthur Fernandez Lorella, one of our old and regular listeners. Let's see and hear what he says. Dear IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for your kind answer to my previous email. I will be glad to receive an EQSL from you, since sending a paper QSL card by post is not available. Would it be possible to confirm my new reception report with your EQSL, please? Thanks a lot in advance for your help and your nice programs. Stay healthy. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Arthur Fernandez Lorella from Spain, and many thanks for sending us this email. Of course, my colleagues will soon all our listeners around the world who sent us email an EQSL card. Yes, sending paper QSL card to our listeners around the world is not possible because of the pandemic. And of course, any item, any material, sending any material is not possible. At the time being, we just send our dear listeners an EQSL card as a confirmation. Thank you, Arthur Fernandez Lorella from Spain, for sending us this email of stay healthy and safe in the time of pandemic, and be careful about everything. We wish you all the best. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. After a short break, I will be back with an email from Alan Willey from Canada. So stay with us, please. Welcome back from Canada, from Alan Willey. We have an email. He says, hello, dear producer. Greetings once again from Newfoundland, Canada. Here is another set of reception reports attached of IRIB shortwave broadcast as monitored here in Newfoundland during the past number of weeks. Thank you for your informative broadcast. I'm so happy that your signals are well received here in Canada. Best wishes. Salam and warm greetings to you, Alan Willey from Canada. And thank you very much for sending us this email. And thank you for letting us know your views about the quality of our programs in IRIB English Radio. As you said, you found the broadcast of IRIB English Radio as informative. We're so glad for that. And also, we are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are well received in your region. As you said, you live in Newfoundland, Canada. And that's great that the signals of IRIB English Radio are well received in your region, because there is a long distance from Iran to Newfoundland in Canada. Anyway, that's great. The high quality of the programs. Alan Willey from Canada, again, thank you for sending us this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. Dear listeners of Listen to the Special, the Sunday program, before we wrap up this week's edition of Listen to the Special, again, I do express my appreciations to all of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports and emails and letters from around the world, including Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Tashishi Bata from Japan, Dan Olson from Sweden, Arthur Fernandez Lorella from Spain, Igor Belevich from Belarus, Shivan Dapol from India, Ram Babu Kumar from India, and of course, the last but not the least, Alan Willey from Canada. We wish you all the best. Take care of yourself. Stay healthy and safe in the time of pandemic. keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and listen as a special, and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. This is a short part of some articles about Imam Khomeini's point of view on religion and politics. Imam Khomeini says, "Man is a being who can achieve the highest levels. It has been in his nature from the beginning that he can transcend the world of nature to achieve a level beyond our imagination. He needs training to achieve these aims. As there are appropriate training for nature, there are also appropriate training for other levels, most of which man cannot understand."
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Spring of Truth. I am your host, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, and we are looking at some point of views made by Al-Imam Al-Khumayni Ridwanullahi Alayh. One of the things that Imam Khumayni said, and he was quoting Imam Al-Baqir Alayhi Salam, where Imam Al-Baqir Alayhi Salam said, "Assign me an elegy reciter at Mina." This is the words of Imam Baqir. Then Imam Khomeini says, "That wasn't because Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam needed such recitation personally. It had political connotation to it." Now, simply put, Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, when he said, "Assign someone to read eulogy for me," he wasn't interested in people crying for him. Rather, he's trying to bring awareness to who is this Al-Baqir. When people hear people mourning Imam al-Baqir, people would wonder, who is this Imam al-Baqir? What did he do? Why is he so special? And this brings awareness to people, which is especially when we're talking about politics here. We have made it a custom when we go to Hajj, especially the pilgrims from Iran, that they denounce the tyrants publicly and they call out their names. And people who are Muslims but are unaware, when they see such demonstration being held in Mecca, whether it's Arafat or Mina or what have you, then they can tell that there's something wrong, and then they start to ask questions. Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi. Sallallahu alayhi. Salli ala Rasul Allah. Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi. At some stage, one of the years, with the Iranian pilgrims, they were protesting and they were shouting slogans against tyrants in one of the pilgrim years, they were confronted with live gunpowder, with live bullets. And a lot of people got killed because the tyrants, they said, well, we can't have this happening. If these guys are going to come and shout from the top of their lungs and call our names and call us tyrants, then they will bring awareness to this, so we need to crush it. So they killed many people with live rounds who were just pilgrims to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this beautiful speech of Imam Khomeini and this notion, it continues until today, where people have to announce the tyrants, either by using a name of an imam, or either by using a eulogy, or even using recitation of the Quran or any gathering. So we need to make sure that people are aware. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
On Friday, 10th of December, a devastating swarm of tornadoes swept through Kentucky. The state's leading figures appealed for federal aid, which was promptly granted, and rightly so. Helping people and communities in need is what nations are supposed to do. The opinion article you're about to hear has been written by the New York Times columnist Paul Krugman, who is also a distinguished professor at City University of New York Graduate Center and has won the 2008 Nobel Memorial Prize in Economic Sciences. The article is titled, Kentucky on My Mind. Stay with us for the New York Times op-ed. Friday, 10th of December, a devastating swarm of tornadoes swept through Kentucky. The state's leading figures appealed for federal aid, which was promptly granted, and rightly so. Helping people and communities in need is what nations are supposed to do. Observers couldn't help noticing, however, that some of the Kentucky politicians asking for aid, notably Senator Rand Paul, had in the past not only opposed aid for other disaster-struck states, but sneered at their pleas. What should we make of this hypocrisy? The truth is that it runs deeper than aid for me, but not for thee. Remarkably, if you look at how the federal budget affects U.S. regions, there's a consistent pattern in which conservative states that preach the importance of self-reliance are in fact heavily subsidized by liberal states, especially in the Northeast. The Rockefeller Institute publishes regular estimates of states' federal balance of payments. The difference between the amount the federal government spends in a state and the amount they collect in taxes. In Virginia and Maryland, a lot of federal spending consists of the salaries of government workers. Elsewhere, however, it is mainly Social Security, Medicare and Medicaid, plus some military spending. Topping the list of net beneficiaries was, yes, you guessed it, Kentucky, where residents receive an average of $14,000 more from Washington than they paid in taxes. To put this in perspective, Kentucky's 2019 net inflow of federal funds, $63 billion, was roughly 30% of the state's gross domestic product that year. Economic geographers often interpret regional economies using the base multiplier model. The idea is that what drives a local economy is its export base, the stuff it sells to other places. The income generated by that export sector in turn supports jobs in local services and healthcare, from healthcare to restaurants. The economy of New York City, for example, is largely driven by the financial industry in New York. The money earned there, directly or indirectly, supports most of the city's other jobs. So what is Kentucky's export base? Not the traditional industries. In 2019, the state, which has more than 4 million residents, had fewer than 6,000 coal miners, while the distillery industry, which to be fair has been growing, employed only about 5,000 people. On the other hand, more than 250,000 Kentuckians worked in healthcare industry and in social assistance. And who do you think paid for a lot of that? So, in a real sense, Kentucky's economy lives on federal dollars. And that's okay. The main reason Kentucky is such a large net recipient of federal funds is that the state is relatively poor. It is in a region that has to some extent been economically stranded, as production and wealth concentrate in large, highly educated metropolitan areas. As a lower-income state, Kentucky receives the full benefit of federal programs like Medicare, but pays relatively little in income or payroll taxes, so it gets much more than it pays in. And that is actually how the social safety net is supposed to work. We want individuals who, for whatever reason, are hurting financially to receive support from the more fortunate, which necessarily implies large transfers from rich states like New Jersey to lower income states like Kentucky. What's not okay, though, is when states that are huge net beneficiaries of progressive taxation and a social safety net preen and posture about self-reliance and the evils of big government. It's even worse when they assert some kind of moral superiority over the metropolitan areas that pay their bills. I mean, it's amazing that we're still doing the thing where small towns and rural areas are held up as the real America, where politicians from, say, Montana are still lecturing urbanites that They need to get out of the big cities. Yes, it would probably be a good thing if more New Yorkers had a sense of what life is like in Montana. But how many Montanans have a good sense of what life is like in Queens, which happens to have twice Montana's population? Not that Queens is the real America, or at least no more than anywhere else in this nation. We should see ourselves as one nation, and it will be nice if people in places like Kentucky both accepted that and acknowledged how much they benefit from being part of a greater whole. You have just listened to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat, or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Besides defending geographical borders, martyrs defend religious, spiritual, and cultural borders.
This is part of the speech delivered on November 21st, 2021, by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the officials in charge of conducting the Martyrs of Elam commemoration ceremony.
یکی از خصوصیات دیگر ایلام حضور همه جانبه همه قشرا بود تا از عالم برجسته فاضل اونجا مرحوم آشق عبدالرحمن حیدری رحمت الله علیه که در میمکم با ما بود بنده اون بالا ایشونم مرحوم آشق عبدالرحمن چند بار بنده آمدم چه قبل از ریاست جمهوری چه بعد از اون
Another characteristic of Elam was the wholehearted presence of people from all social backgrounds, from scholars to the common people. For instance, the late Sheikh Abdul Rahman Haydari, may God's mercy be upon him, was with me on the Maymak Hills. He was with me at the top of that summit. He was with me everywhere I went. I visited Elam several times, both before and after my presidency. He was always present in the field of battle as long as he was alive. He would take his gun and was ready to fight at all times in the true sense of the word. The same is true of the common people and the numerous tribes in Elam. Those who could fight were present in the field, and the masses of the people helped in the resistance. One of the gentlemen in the meeting stated that the people did not leave the city. I myself saw this with my own eyes in the city of Elam. The enemy planes would regularly strike the city repeatedly. In those times, no one would remain on the streets, and the people would go to one of the deserts or forests around the city. After the bombardment had finished, they would go back to the city. That is, this way of leaving and coming back to the city had become a routine activity for the people. But they never completely left the city or the province, and they stood firm.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
در همین شرایط سخت است که یک نخبه نابغه‌ای مثل شهید رضایی نژاد تربیت میشه.
It was during the time of those bombardments and in that difficult situation that a genius, namely Martyr Rezai Nejad, grew up. Martyr Rezai Nejad was a nuclear scientist who was martyred. His scientific importance was so immense that the enemy felt his existence would help the Islamic Republic progress, and so they assassinated him. They martyred him in front of his wife and small daughter. That young scientist had spent his youth witnessing those bombardments and those difficult circumstances in Elam.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.